Matthew chapter 5. If you find that, please stand as we continue our series on influencing your world for Christ. Very familiar passage we will be reading together this morning. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Well, I can see I can't read without them. I can see you. I just can't read. Matthew 5, starting at verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way,
yes, sir.
Let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, help us to embrace our identity in you, that we are salt to the earth, light to the world, and you've saved us and called us to proclaim your excellencies to a lost and dying world. We are instruments of your grace, your love, and your mercy. Use us even now as we go to your word. May your word go through us, transform us from the inside out, conform us into the predestined image of Jesus Christ, that we may be and become what you have made us to be in this world. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, speak, Lord, your people are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. When Jesus entered our world, he didn't box himself inside the four walls of the synagogue. He walked into the lives of sinners. He touched the lepers. He associated with prostitutes. He dined with pagans. He scandalized the religious community by penetrating the world. In order for Jesus to reach and rescue the world, he had to penetrate the world. Likewise, for us to impact and influence the world for Christ, we must penetrate it. John Stott said, "We are to go as he went, to penetrate human society, to mix with unbelievers, to fraternize with sinners." Does not one of the church's greatest failures lie here? We have disengaged too much. We have become a withdrawn, isolated community. We have become aloof instead of alongside. On Sunday, the church gathers, but on Monday through Saturday, the church scatters into the marketplace. Followers of Jesus Christ live as God's ambassadors, as his representatives, as his messengers. They are on a mission. It was R.C. Sproul, the late R.C. Sproul, who said, "The cradle of the church was the marketplace. From the preaching and public ministry of Jesus to the daily acts of the apostles, the central scene was the marketplace. Perhaps the greatest need for our day is the need to market Jesus Christ. The church must become experts in marketing, not in the slick Madison Avenue style, but in an aggressive yet dignified way. The marketplace is where we belong. It is where needy people are found. It is not enough for the church to hang a welcome sign on the door. We dare not wait for the world to come to us. We go into the world." So Jesus declares, that first declaration, that you are the salt of the earth. Uh-huh. And he's referring to lost people,
yeah.
The earth. And then a second declaration, you are the light of the world. And that world is a reference again to lost, unsaved people. But thirdly, in our text, we have the demand for good works. The demand for good works. Now, the salt passage ended with a warning about salt losing its saltiness. But the light section ends with an encouragement about what happens when your light shines brightly. This is only the second command in the Sermon on the Mount so far. The first command is Matthew 5:12. He commands us to rejoice when we're persecuted. And this is the second one he calls us to do. To let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works glorify our Father in heaven. And then he tells us what will happen when you let your light shine. Two things will happen. First of all, number one, or A in your outline, people will see your good works. They will see your good works. The Greek word translated good is kalos, and it means attractive or pleasing in form or appearance, rather than good in a moral and ethical sense. There's a word for good in a moral ethical sense, but this is the good for something that is appealing to the eye. It's attractive when you see it. You know when you see someone attractive. You start to smile. You comment to the person next to you. That's what Jesus is saying here. That people will see our good works. No doubt our work should be moral and ethical. But the emphasis here in Jesus' sermon is on the good works that helps others. That present the Christian life as attractive and pleasing to those who are in the world watching us. Wow. Well, because we're in the world doing this. Yeah. We're not hiding behind the curtain. Paul uses this word kalos for good in describing his earthly ministry in 2 Timothy 4:7. He says, I fought the good fight. I've ran the race. I've finished my course. That's kalos. His fight was good in appearance. It was pleasing. It was attractive. It was a fight of faith. And then Paul uses this word kalos, good, to describe one of the purposes of our salvation. Why are we saved? If we were just saved to go to heaven, we wouldn't be here today. So obviously our salvation is more than going to heaven when we die. Our salvation must have a real purpose in real time, space, and matter. There's something really significant we are called to do once we are saved. What is that? Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his masterpiece, his poem, his workmanship. And we're created in Christ Jesus for what? Help me now. Good works. Look, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're saved to do the works of God. We're saved to worship God, to witness for God. We're saved to work for the kingdom of God. Let your light so shine. See, the testimony of your life should match the testimony of your lips. See, this is the problem with our inability to shine. We testify with our life, with our lips, but our life doesn't match what we said with our lips. Uh-huh. It's time that our life and our lips kiss. Come on. Match up. And Jesus said, let your light so shine before men. That's the principle of permission. Remember earlier I said we don't let God do a lot of things in us. We check in and check out spiritually. But Jesus is calling us as kingdom people to let him do something in us that we may be uncomfortable with. We are uncomfortable with losing control over what we do. Are we not? Yeah. Well, the Bible said, let God control you. Let God influence you. Let God direct you. You're going a path that will be good for you and it will bring glory to God. See, the reason why we don't want to let God do what God wants to do in us because we think the good won't measure out for us. Because we believe that up until now, I've been in control of Jimmy, so I'm doing good for me. And I don't think God has good intentions, or he has my good in mind. But he has your good in heart and in mind. See, we have to let God do what he wants to do in us. We give God permission. We allow him to be not only Savior of our souls, but Lord of our lives. Amen. To let our light shine is not something we create. I want to stop you right now, and you're thinking that you have to do this. You have to produce it, I mean. You can't create it. You can't produce it. You can't work it up. You can't make it up, pray it up. But there's something you can do. What is it? Let. Allow. Permit. The Lord, who is the true light that's in you, to shine through you. But in order for him to completely do that work in us, we got to get rid of some darkness. We got to get rid of some selfishness.
Yes, sir.
We got to get rid of some hypocrisy.
Yes, sir.
Some ego, right? Me, myself, and I mentality. We have to believe that we're just not here just to be happy. We're here to be holy. Mm-hmm. And in being holy, we will experience happiness.
Yeah.
And our happiness should not be just temporal or temporary. Our happiness should be eternal.
Yes, sir.
Jesus concludes this passage with a powerful statement that if we let our light so shine before men, if we let him do what he wants to do in us, since he is the light, and if he's in me, he's going to shine that light. If I let him do that in such a way, they'll see my good works.
Yeah.
And they'll glorify him. The verse is a command. It's not a suggestion. Jesus says, since you are light, shine. And we are not here to get used to the dark, but to shine as lights.
Yes, sir.
The light of Christ, beloved, is to shine in and through us before men. In other words, this is a public exhibition of light. It is important to notice that the light is not equated with the good works. They're separate from the good works. Some of you are thinking, well, lights mean good works. Well, it doesn't. It's totally separate. It doesn't equate. Rather, the light illumines the good works in such a way that people notice them and glorify God. Now, think about the text. Jesus is speaking to his kingdom people about kingdom principles and kingdom living. And he's preparing them to go out into the kingdoms of the world.
Yeah.
How will the unsaved know what light is? Just by me doing something good? They wouldn't. Because they're spiritually blind to kingdom things.
Yes, sir.
So I'm going to have to let my light shine upon them in such a way that they can use my light that I'm proclaiming with my mouth to validate and verify what I'm doing in my behavior.
Good.
Y'all hear what I'm saying
yes,
today?
Sir.
So if I'm doing good, if I'm feeding the hungry, sheltering the homeless, if I'm attending to the needs of the weak, the least, the last, and the left behind, if I'm dealing with those on the margins of society, I need to proclaim why I am doing it. Because as far as they're concerned, I'm acting just like a Mormon. I'm acting like someone who's a part of United Way.
Yeah.
I'm acting like someone who is a part of some social organization. I need to proclaim the light as I minister with my hands.
Yes.
Why? So that the world can see that what I'm doing is for the kingdom. And it's not just for being just good in general. You know, there's a lot of good things that people do in society for the good of people. But they don't do it for the glory of God. You see that? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and bring what? Glory to your Father. Well, unless the light illuminates what I'm doing, they won't know it's for his glory. They'll think it's for my ego. So then I'll be held as a person who did good and helped the poor and helped those who were in trouble and helped those who needed a hand up and not a hand out. All the attention will come to me and not to him. So the light is not equated with the good works, but the light illuminates the good works so that those who are watching my life, those who are listening to what I say with my lips, those who are watching my love and my behavior, they see that as distinct from what they do. Okay. They say, they're doing that for the glory of God. They're doing that for the kingdom of Christ. It's like when you serve people and they don't know you. You know, there are people that stand on the corners and they got signs and they need food. When you give them money, just say, this is from Jesus. See, what you've just done is illuminate the light of your words, right, upon the deed of your hand.
Come on.
See, that's what we're called to do, but we don't do it.
Wow.
And we wonder why they don't see the light of Christ in us. Why? Because we would rather give with our hands and keep our mouth shut. The Christian has to speak and serve, right?
Yeah.
We have to say it and give. So that the people that we're ministering to understand we represent the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
So he says, let your light so shine. I don't know if your text says this, but my text says in such a way. Do your text says that? Verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine. Or in such a way. Let your light shine. What do your text say? Now, in the same way means verse 15, 14. In the same way what? As a city is set on a hill. In the same way as what? Verse 15. As a lamp on a light stand. Giving light to all the house. So it can illuminate. Right? So it can be heard. And seen. But if you're just doing good works anonymously, they don't know that the light is responsible. They think they're just getting this from the darkness, from organizations that don't represent the gospel, for organizations that are not parachurch or alongside the church. And they won't even understand that it's the church that is doing this. They will assume that it is some kind-hearted organization, some kind-hearted man, some kind-hearted woman who's doing this good deed and meeting the needs in their life. Beloved, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works. What is it that lights up our works to the glory of God? It's very simple. Is your verbal testimony of Jesus Christ as you serve with your hands. Good works by themselves are not light. They don't direct people to God. They don't open up the hearts and minds of people to see the reality of Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. Good works by themselves are just good works. You fed them this Thanksgiving and you wait till another Thanksgiving just to feed them. Good works. You help them during Christmas time. You wait till next Christmas to help them. So that's 2 days out of a year. You're going to show good works. That's all they see. Your good works. But if you serve people and at the same time proclaim the good news that Jesus is the reason why you are serving them, then the kingdom of God is made real to them at that moment. They can see the kingdom. Because apart from the proclamation of the gospel, they're blind to the kingdom. All they can judge you by is your deeds. And your deeds are neither in their mind moral or immoral. They are moral. They meet a specific need they have. They don't think of anything spiritual about our goodness. It's when we couple our good works with the good gospel that the light shines. So it's the verbal testimony of Jesus Christ. Good works by themselves are not light. They must be illuminated by words that direct attention and tribute to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes Christians place a false dichotomy between words and deeds, don't we? We go, I'd rather see a sermon than to hear one. Well, that's ignorant. Because how good can your life really be by itself? How good are you just by your behavior? Even your behavior can give a distorted view of who you really are without words coupled with it. Even when you do something that the person doesn't want to receive or think it's inappropriate to receive or think you did something, you know, with ill will behind it, you say, oh, I didn't mean it that way. You put words with that behavior to bring clarity to what you're doing. Beloved, you got to have words and works.
Amen.
Together. Some people say, I testify to my faith in God by the way I live. You must be really perfect. Because you know what? Jesus never made a mistake. But they call him a wine bibber. They call him a friend of sinners. They call him the son of Beelzebub, prince of demons. And he's God in human flesh.
Yeah.
And that's the reception he received. What do you think you're going to receive with our half-hearted living and our half-hearted commitments? Our life is not the gospel. Jesus is the gospel. And our lives should reflect that through our works and our words.
Yeah.
I know this is not a shouting one here today. I know that was last Sunday. That's the good thing about guest speakers. They can come in and give us a shout. But the pastor got to labor in the field. You got to keep the goats or the sheep in the pen so they won't get out. So, beloved, others will say, I don't have to say anything. The idea that we shouldn't feel compelled to bring up the name of Jesus Christ as the explanation of our Christian conduct is born from either unbelievable arrogance or incredible ignorance. Beloved, our lives are not an adequate witness apart from our words. When Jesus came, he came preaching and teaching the kingdom of God is at hand. The disciples went witnessing of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul came preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are called to proclaim his name.
Yes, sir.
Because faith comes from hearing and hearing the words of Christ. Romans 10:17. Beloved, we can't be the church without proclamation. Works and words must come together. Beloved, our lives are not an adequate witness apart from our words. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim. Proclaim what? The gospel of Jesus Christ. The excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and to this marvelous light. We're called to say and do. We're called to believe and behave. We're called to work. And we're called to say it too. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. How is that possible apart from witnessing, from proclamation, from words? How are we holier than thou? Meaning God? And he speaks. And we're silent. We are not Secret Service Christians. We should not be CIA saints. What we do should be heard and seen. How is this accomplished? That the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ has shone into the hearts of those who believe it. And they are to give the light of that knowledge. You give the light of knowledge through teaching and preaching. It's by verbally proclaiming the gospel. The gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. But how can they hear unless they have a preacher? And how can he preach unless he's been sent? May I just add to you that in Romans 10, that's speaking of the church corporately and not the preacher individually. The church is the preacher that has anointed feet, that is shod with the preparation of the gospel. Don't you know that is the whole armor of God? Shoes and Romans 10? Feet that are ready to do what? To proclaim the life, the ministry, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for sinners. He died for us. He is our propitiation, our atoning sacrifice. And beloved, as we try to resolve all the social issues in the world, which we never will, we can resolve the greatest issue in the world. And that's the issue of the heart. Because that's what the gospel addresses. The spiritual nature of man's condition. And we do that through the gospel. But they must hear it before they can believe it. So, when you let your light so shine, people will see. Why? Because you're going to proclaim why you're doing what you're doing in your service. What you say shall bring light to what you do. Are you with me? Lastly, people will glorify your Father in heaven. That's B. It will glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus, speaking of the Father, emphasizes God's tenderness and intimacy, and speaking of his being in heaven, emphasizes his majesty and his holiness. He is our heavenly Father. Our good works are to magnify God's grace and power. This is the supreme calling of life, is it not? Glorifying God. The Westminster Confession states, the question, what is the chief end of man? The answer, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Why do we do good works? So people will remark, what a great Christian you are. That's not the point. The purpose of the light is not to glorify itself. Right? You don't turn a light on to draw attention to the light, but to whatever the light is shining upon. Is that it? The purpose of the light is to illuminate Jesus and to glorify the Father in heaven. Jesus expects good works and good words. Both are necessary to what? Doxa God, to show him off, to put him on a pedestal, to glorify him. That's what that word comes from, where we get doxology from. At the end of our services, they used to sing this song, the doxology. And it was a song of praise to God. Well, your life should be a doxology. It should be a praise to God that what you do and what you say adds up. It means to show off. That's right. We're supposed to show God off. Unfortunately, sometimes it's tempting to dazzle people with our good works so that we are glorified and not God. Yet light functions best when it is least visible. If you are blinded by a lamp, you're not able to read. Jesus makes it clear that our good works should not direct attention back to us, but to the Father in heaven who produced them in the beginning. You see where the light is shining? It's shining back on the one who's the source of the good work. The purpose of shining our light is to point others to God who is working through us. When people see the full moon on a clear summer night, they're not going to say, it's wonderful that the moon is such a powerhouse of light and energy for us tonight. No, the moon has no light. It merely reflects the light and the energy of the sun. That's how it works, Christians. The world sees our works, but glorifies not us, but the one who is the true source of the goodness that we exhibit in our behavior. What does it mean to shine? Number one, it means to be countercultural. That's what it means to shine, to be countercultural. Don't go along to get along in the world. We live in a dark world, full of lies, hate, confusion. But God's word tells us in Romans 13:12, cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. He's getting back to Ephesians 6, the armor of God, right? While others are chasing after physical pleasures, selfish gain, we are commanded to live a different way. Romans 13:14 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provisions for the flesh to gratify its desires. Live counterculture.
Yes, sir.
Don't conform to the culture. Live in contradiction to the culture.
Correct.
That's Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yes, sir.
So we're to be countercultural Christians. So whether the world lays on the table, we lay down the kingdom on the table and contrast the validity and the reality and the veracity of both. When the world talks about love, we lay down God's love, as Pastor Ken did this morning. It's a different kind of love. When the world lays down their view of human sexuality, we lay down the biblical view of human sexuality. When the world lays down their view of family, we lay down the biblical paradigm for family, right? When the world says this is our God, we show them the true and living God. You got to give them a contrast. But we've been so conformative in our approach to the world, so conciliatory to the world, so nice to the world, that we lose the Christian distinction in this world. The world needs us to be different. They need us to think differently. They need us to act differently. Why? So that what we proclaim will illuminate our behavior and show them that this is for the glory of God. Then they can see the kingdom. Jesus said, unless one is born again, he cannot even enter the kingdom, let alone see the kingdom of God. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Be countercultural. Don't go with the culture. Go against the culture. Secondly, be in the world, not of it. That's how you let your light shine. I didn't say it was easy. I said, this is what you're called to do. But if you permit him to do it, he'll shine. He'll shine in you. Be countercultural. Be in the world. That's the word world, but not of it. Jesus said in John 17:13-16, but now I'm coming to you, Father. He's praying to his Father. And he says, these things I speak in the world that they may have my joy fulfilled in them. This is John 17:13. Verse 14 says, I have given them your word and the world has what? Hated them because they are not
of the world.
Just as I am not of the world. Jesus is not of the world. Stop being like the world and saying you're following Jesus. That's a contradiction. That's not real evidence of faith, is it? To say I'm following Jesus, but I'm following the world. That's dead faith. It's not living faith. Listen to the text. This is Jesus' prayer. We're looking into his prayer, his quiet time with the Father. In verse 15, it says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. That's Satan. That's demonic power. Verse 16, they are not of the world. just as I am not of the world. Wow. Be in the world, but not of it. Matthew 5:15 says that no one lights a lamp and just hide it under a basket. A lamp is meant to be placed on a stand to give light to everything around it. Whether you're timid or outgoing, extrovert or introvert, whether you say I'm type A personality, type B, type C or D, you are called to be light. It doesn't matter. You're called to be light to the people around you if you just permit God to be God in you. If you just allow him to shine. If you just allow him to rule and reign in your hearts. If you just allow him to take control of your mind, will, and emotions. If you just allow him, he will do it. Because he says this is what you are. In him, you are light. Let your light shine. Psalm 107 verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Yes, sir.
Whom he has redeemed from trouble. Has he redeemed you? Well, then say so. Has he restored you? Say so. Has he reconciled you? Say so. Has he healed you? Say so. Has he kept you? Say so. Is he leading you? Say so. Is he providing for you? Is he making a way out of no way? Say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so to those that he redeemed out of trouble. Beloved, be countercultural. Be in the world, but not of it. And lastly, be mindful to point back to the light source. When Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men, that wasn't the whole sentence. He says, do it so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. See, our goal should never be to bring recognition to ourselves, but to bring glory to the Almighty God. There's a fine line between being a light and putting on a show to get attention. It's a matter of the heart, isn't it? Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. It is God's light. He is the source of its beauty and its attractiveness. It is God's light that we are to shine. Our choice is whether we're going to hide it or we're going to let it shine. What's your choice? Let's pray. Father, help us to be the people that you have redeemed us to be in the world. You said we are light and we are salt. And we are to let our light so shine before this world that they will see our good works and give you the glory. Help us to complement our words with our works, our belief with our behavior, with what we say, with what we do. Help us have a complementary faith, not a contradictory faith. And we know that faith without works is dead. But help us to live with the evidence that our faith is real by what we say and by what we do. And may that minister to the lost as we serve and meet the needs of those who are without the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Help us even now, God, to search our own hearts and to examine the areas of our lives where we have not permitted you to be Lord. We have not allowed you to come into that particular room and take over. Make our hearts and our minds a place where your presence and your person will feel at home. Help us, Lord, to allow you to do in us and through us for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.